G'day, ballers and ballerettes, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Benz, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round two is the coach of Tubes, Podge, Tubes. Tubes, how you going, mate? You look a little bit down in the dumps.
Yeah, I'm not good. It's been a tough weekend. You said I sent you a message on Friday night when I was up and about saying a week's a long time in Supercoach. Well, I can tell you 48 hours is a very long time in Supercoach for me this week.
So funny. Message on Friday night, obviously, for regular listeners of the show, they would know that you have laid the Seagulls players. So after Olakau'atu, Garrick and Tommy Turbo especially went poorly on Friday night, you were really feeling yourself. But 48 hours later, Tubes, what did you do this weekend that's got you feeling so down?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the whole Manly lay sounds good, but doesn't work when none of your players go well that you pick instead of the Reece Walsh got 9. I think he down-dated today instead of updated, which is always good. I think they normally update, but he went backwards.
He went back by 10.
And then we put out on our Twitter X or socials that because of that it had a bit of a effect on me thinking, oh well, now I've got his low score and I've got Goz and so I was planning on looping Ponga and that meant not playing Yongi. So Yongi against the Tigers, Combank Stadium, I thought, well, he's in it for at least 50-60 points, but no, he's got 20 odd and I've ended up captaining Jaden Campbell, who's gone for 35, and even that, you know, didn't feel great. Also didn't feel great that I started the year with AJ Brimson and he's gone 36 as well. So it's nice. I'm glad I held him for 2 weeks at 500K for that nice 36. Dropping the ball over the line, it was a good start.
Sorry, Chiefs, I'm trying not to laugh, but it's hard not to. So, Chiefs, let's say that par is probably around 1350-ish. How far behind par are you, do you think, this week? What'd you end up on?
11:45 currently, and still could down date from there potentially as well. So, it's a tough start. It's a long year. I'm not too unhappy. To be honest, I'm not too unhappy with my side. I really think the Titans boys can bounce back. We might talk about it. I definitely think Reece Walsh can bounce back with the Broncos draw that's coming along. No one's going to buy these people now, so maybe I've got some pods that are hopefully bouncing back pretty soon.
Yeah, some super pods. I guess you are a man who takes a big swing, Tubes, and unfortunately this weekend it hasn't worked out, but hopefully next weekend it all comes back for you. Tubes, on the other hand, I'd say I had a pretty solid weekend. I ended up with a 13.91, which seems slightly above par, I'd say. I know in one of our cash leagues I took the $50 home for biggest score of the round, so it seems like it's done pretty good, so I'm sitting pretty happy, even though a couple of my trades this week didn't quite work out perfectly. But before we get into our analysis of the weekend, just a bit of a plug for the SC Ballers Unlimited League, where there is $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The league code is 730444. That's 730444. You don't have to do this anymore to be eligible. I believe they've waived this, but you can still head to baller.promo. That's baller.promo. And into your email address if you want some updates on what's to come. Tubes, we got a little sneak preview this weekend of the live website. Looks good, doesn't it?
Does. Hasn't helped my Supercoach yet, but I think it will once. But certainly it's looking good from a live score update versus some of the other options out there. I'm looking forward to some projections and weathers and different things coming into it. So plenty of tools to help people from Supercoach moving forward.
And Tubes, on the snap this week, we're changing up our format a little bit. Last week we kind of went in order of games, but this week we've had a chat and we're going to go positional analysis. We just think it allows for a few easier comparisons as we're going through to talk about different players. But Tubes, before we get to that, let's start off with our rage trade.
Are you little?
Tubes, who you got?
Another one from today, didn't quite make it into the top of the list of my rant at the beginning, but he's top of my list, I think, from a rage trade point of view, and that is Jermaine Hopgood. The Eels just look terrible. don't they? Mm-hmm. Like, and he's getting minutes taken off him from Jack Williams, of all people. And the fact that Riles is playing Jack Williams nearly 80 minutes means I just can't trust him as a coach, that he has the type of intelligence you'd need to be an NRL coach. I mean, I know he was a front row forward, but he did his apprenticeship under Bellamy. So we'll see how he goes. But it's not boding well for my Hopgood hold. 657K, it feels like a straight swap basically to Payne Haas, who looks unbelievable.
Well, Chiefs, you're definitely not going to case for keeping him from me, and that sounds pretty smart. But more about Payne Haas later on in the show. Chiefs, the one that I want to talk about as a potential rage trade candidate is Tommy Trbojevic, who is 37% owned. He got 59 on the weekend, and he looked like he was ready to explode with an early try. But the Podfather rule that Matt and Dan talked about on the Tuesday Teamless show ended up coming good, and the Podfather rule is that you don't captain someone playing against the Warriors in New Zealand, and it ended up working out. He came off with hammy and lower back tightness, and as of today, he's been cleared of any serious damage. But if there is, Tubes, to be an ongoing hammy concern, I know you're not an owner, but if you were, would you take a good look at selling him?
Not this week. If as long as he's named, I'd keep him. You'd be pausing on captaining him, probably. But Raiders this Saturday, is it, at home? So not an easy game, but I mean his rolling average will be fine, won't it? Didn't he get 120 or something last week? So I'd at least, if he's playing, you want to hold him, see how he goes.
I'm with YouTube, so I know I'm generally more conservative when it comes to stuff like this, but I just don't see the point of trading at Tommy if he's playing. I think the second I sell him, he comes out and gets 100.
It'd be an interesting point if it came out this week and he didn't play, but they said it's precautionary, he'll be back next week.
Yeah.
That'd make life a bit tougher, I think, for everyone.
Definitely.
Don't know what would happen then.
All right, well, Tubes, let's get into centre wing, and we'll start with a rare Tubes pod success story. Dylan Lucas, who's a dual 2RF, he had 97 on the weekend with a try and a line break, came through for 40 tackles. How good did he look, Tubes?
Unbelievable. And same as the week before, 75 the week before, 65 in base plus power. I think he's a must-have for the centre wings for everyone. It's just whether you or not you go this week or you pay that little bit more and wait till after their round four bye.
Yeah, see, I'm someone who's very much eyeing him off, but I think I'm going to wait till after that bye. I don't want to bring him in and then wait around for a week. So especially because I own KP and I own Greg Marju as well, and I don't want to have three nights in the bye coming into round four.
It's one price rise. Like, he'll probably go up 50K without exploding again this week. So it's a fine premium to pay.
What about big bad Greggy Boy Tubes? He had 84 without a try and only had one line break on the weekend. He's certainly passing the eye test. Like, he looks physical. He looks pretty quick. Three of the five tries for the Knights were on the opposite edge to him this week. Do you have any concerns about the Knights going right, or any concerns about Bradman Best inside him?
No. I know owners, particularly Dan, gets a bit frustrated with old Bradman not passing the ball to Greg. Especially when... even when Greg just scores himself. But I think he's done everything you wanted to see if you brought him in at the start of the year. As you said, he passes the eye test. The only reason I didn't start with him was exactly what you just said before, those three nights going into the bye. He is one that he'll cost me a little bit more, but I'll pay the premium and probably get him in round four. All things considered, after the round four bye, so in round five, they just have such a nice sort of decent run after that. But both of those two players look like good basemen with attacking upside.
And you're comfortable, both of those guys in the centre wing from the Knights, both left edge players, you're comfortable they're not going to step on each other's toes too much from a scoring perspective?
You're buying them for different reasons, so not really. But Lucas is just a good edge back rower. Like, he's not costing Greg Marju anything necessarily. Best is, but a little bit. But I think they complement each other well, especially when Ponga's playing so outstanding. So I think no problem having a few nights outside backs.
Manly choose with Ruben Garrick. He's 680K. He had 54 with an assist. Definitely a lower score than owners wanted, but I think this kind of low 50 is probably close to his floor. I am probably looking at selling him this week as my way of getting to Payne Haas, who, again, we'll talk about in depth later. What do you think, Tubes? Am I going off a little bit early selling Garrick, or do you think it's the right move?
I think everyone bought him in at the start of the year, and it was a bit of he's going to be a season-long keeper. 680K, that's sort of what you're paying for. And you've seen a good score, a decent score, and then you've seen his floor. But like anything, I think it depends on your team. And I think you've had a good start. So I imagine you have not many players not going very well. So it probably feels a bit luxury to be trading out Garrick, because I think they've still got a pretty decent run coming up and all of that. But if that's your only way, your main way to Payne Haas, I probably can't talk you out of that.
Yeah, I think it is. Unless I sell like a Nico or a Cleary, I think it is my only way to Payne. So it feels like the right move, but
definitely I'd rather keep Nico and Cleary over Garrick, I think. I mean, we'll talk about it, but there's a few good tough back options that are going to be making some cash. So,
All right. So I think a hold for most people, very situation dependent for me, but definitely I think most are holding. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Tubes, owners were bailed out again this week with a try late in the game. He ended up on 64. He had pretty solid running meters. He had 6 tackle busts. You mentioned to me yesterday that you're looking at him potentially as a sell. What's your thought process?
That was before Campbell Graham got 32 for me on the weekend.
Okay.
I think I was looking for a sell to downgrade. I knew I'd want to downgrade someone, like, I think we'll talk about him. We'll talk about him now. Jesse Arthur's 96 and 94 after the first two rounds. That Broncos draw we talked about last week coming up is unbelievable. He's going to make basically 100K in the next week or two. So I think he's a bring in. So you've got to get rid of some of your centre wings. I've got Campbell Graham, who hasn't got any attack. So I'll probably be looking at selling him, but I could easily be selling Roger Tuivasa-Sheck as well, and he could be going to Greg Marju in a couple of weeks' time. But I'm happy that he got a try. He's sort of on the bubble. Just doesn't look himself, does he?
I don't know. I don't think he was looking as bad as what others did. Like, I agree he's doesn't look quite as explosive as usual. But then when I looked at the numbers and saw he still busted 6 tackles, I was like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't look – you're right, he doesn't look peak RTS, but I'm pretty comfortable with a hold. What about Matt put significant time into talking up Jesse Arthurs and saying what a great buy he was. And I just assumed he actually went through with it and bought him. I think it was after Jesse's second try that some angry text messages started coming through from Matt. He decided not to do it. Jeez, he'll be very annoyed at himself.
Yeah, I reckon we start a like a tally on the Sunday snap, which maybe we make a new segment and call it Matt's socials that he doesn't do. Like, just loves talking about exactly what he's going to do and then reneging, but doesn't let the audience know. You got to follow through when you're in the content game.
With Jesse Arthur's Tubes, you mentioned him. There's some other cheap options that people might not own. Like, I know a lot of people own Toya, a lot of people own Jackson Purdue. But what about Tamale and Shibasaki, who a lot of people were maybe waiting to see they got that third game first? Would you go Arthurs over those guys if you're only downgrading one, or would you look at trying to get a combo?
Yeah, I'd go Arthurs. He's just going to make minus 86 break even, and that Broncos run, I think it's very good. So I don't know if he's a definite be able to play, but over the next 4 or 5 weeks with that Broncos upside, I think you'll want to be playing him as your sort of fourth center wing over Tamale and Shibasaki. I mean, ideally you have all three, but I think if it's out of them, I'd take Arthur's for sure.
What about your man Young GI in the weekend? I went a week early on him and I brought him in and he got 34 all in base. And I actually think, whilst he's not hitting the heights of a Young GI like you put him up last week, I thought he had a pretty good game. Like, I was feeling pretty comfortable as someone who went a week early on him.
I thought he looked good. I mean, that was his 34 all in base. Like, what more do you want from a 234K player? And as I think I just said, the Broncos run, it'll come. I think he's certainly, as long as he keeps his spot, that's probably the pause with not knowing with Stags back. Dean Mariner's looked pretty good as well. So, you probably can't rush to get him in unless Stags is back and you know that he's holding his spot.
Yeah. My last one, Tubes, is someone I actually traded out this week and I'm feeling a little bit regretful, although Shibasaki going all right helps. Adam Dewey, who had 67 today with a try assist, but I just thought in actual footy terms, he looked way more dynamic. He was kicking him beautifully. I think anyone who has Dewey, hold?
Oh, he's a definite hold. He won't be playing Parramatta every week, so I think just wait and see. But I did think he did definitely look better. That left edge for them certainly feels like it's going to be their go-to side. I think he's a perfect hold, and he's got that good flexibility. But I don't think there's much more to it. You wouldn't be trading him. You wouldn't be bringing him in at the moment either.
Yeah. So when it comes to Adam Dewey, it's a don'ty. Don't trade him. Keep him on for next week. Tubes, getting into the front row forwards now. There's one man who's been very, very disappointing who both of us took a big, hard look at before the first round, and that's Mitchie Barnett, Mitchie boy. He's a dual front row forward, second row forward. He had only 44 points in 62 minutes over the weekend, and that's after getting 55 last week. His BE's up around 100. Is that just the easiest sell to Payne Haas of all time?
Yeah, like easiest sell. 12% ownership, you'd just be selling him straight to Payne Haas. Can we just talk about the front row forwards in general? Like,
go.
I don't think it was on anyone's bingo card to say they were going to be. They're always known as just the meat and potatoes, can't hurt your men, or at least that's what you hear around the traps. This weekend, if you just started with Tino, Payne Haas, Corey Horsburgh, and Tyrrell May, that's basically four front rowers that have gone over 90 or over 80, over 90, and a couple of hundreds just from the three of that, four of them. Like, it's been an unbelievable spot this year, and basically now just figuring out a way to get all four of them into your team.
Yeah, and they're all already so highly owned, which I guess explains a lot of why so many the scores have started through the roof this year, like people banging out. It's very rare in round two we're saying, oh, yeah, Par's 13.50 this week. But I guess those kind of guys and a lot of people owning them is why it's so high.
But basically it makes front row forward irrelevant once you get Payne Haas and you've got Tyrrell May and then you've got Tino and Horse as your third or second row forward to sort of swap around. But
yeah.
I think that's sort of the ultimate state you just need to get to as soon as possible. And Payne Haas looked unbelievable again, even in a beaten Broncos side. What do you have, seven offloads or something like that?
Yeah, seven offloads. We're going to – you're stepping on my turf for a segment later on, Tubes.
Oh, hope not.
That's all right. It's all good, little preview. maybe it'll be little black book. Maybe people won't be able to pick it. You picked a guy who got 93 in your little black book last week. Maybe that's where I'm going with pain. We don't
Could
know.
Could be.
Tubes, how did Tino go today for you? You thought you weren't 100% happy early on, but 55 minutes in the end, 100 points. He hit his straps, didn't he?
I was a bit fuming during that whole Titans game, and I saw him miss a couple of tackles that led to try. So I thought he was a bit off the pace, but I did. Matt corrected me and I did go back and have a look. Like, he just got through a mountain of work in that first 15 to 20 minutes when the Bulldogs were all over him. And then he had a rest, which I was a little bit surprised about. But I also possibly didn't take into consideration that it was 40-degree heat or whatever it was at Belmore Oval. So he's had 100 with a try. But what's that probably put him at? Sort of 65, 70. But, I mean, basically if a front row is getting 100 with a try, and he probably had a couple of offloads toward the end. I think he's in for a big season. And the Titans will only get better. That was a pretty woeful performance from them to start the season.
You hope.
Woeful. They're better.
You hope.
Needed the run. Didn't factor in the first round bye, just didn't have the match fitness to get going. Could be something to remember for next year.
Let's stick with the hot front rowers. And when I think hot, I think Corey Horsburgh, who dual second row forward. He had 84 with a try assist after playing the opening 50-plus minutes. And I wouldn't be too concerned about those minutes being low. I was at the game on the weekend, Tubes, and he was initially staying warm on the bike for a second stint. But after the Raiders kicked on, they got him off the bike and Horse just stood on the sidelines talking rubbish, actually, to the Broncos players. Like, he fed it to Reece Walsh from Reece Walsh through a forward pass cutout ball that went out right near Corey, and Corey was just chirping at him. He looked unbelievable. Like, he's like 60% owned. It's just 100% by next week. You've got to find a way to get the Horse in your team at that price.
Oh, it's not even got to find a way. You just do. I mean, 350K, he's gonna finish up the year at this rate sort of in the high 600s. He did look good. He's looked good all preseason, basically, and his form's just continued on. The only thing I would say, and it's maybe across all the sort of Canberra, obviously no Tarpany. It was good to see Horse sort of step up into that leadership of the pack role, but suppose you're still going to be on a minutes watch a little bit. But I mean, obviously he's playable and you want him in your side.
Yeah. This next bloke might be more than playable. He might be captainable. Terrell May, who just ridiculous. 65 minutes, he had 90 points, offloads, tackle bust, over 40 tackles, just got through a mountain of work. Is he genuinely like someone you consider as a captain choice this year? Can you go old school and just go with that locked-in man each week?
I think so. Like, I mean, it depends when they play, I suppose. He's possibly not – I mean, Matt sort of talked about, and I've gone against it week two, but the importance potentially this year of not getting your captaincy wrong. So, you know, with the free loop, trying to get, making sure you're getting those high captaincy scores and not risking it for potentially HIAs or lower ones. So you could go for the high upside player for the VC, and you pretty much, it feels like you're almost locking him in for 80 plus every week. Like, that's 90 in base plus power this week without any attacking upside. Or do you have a line break assist or something like that? Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, like, and that's before updates. He had offloads too, so he'll probably end up a little bit higher than that even.
Yeah, so and he has got a try in him. Like, if that's sort of what you're locking in, it's a pretty safe captaincy option potentially. I mean, who knows? I mean, he just looked unbelievable though, didn't he? Him or Payne Haas, like basically that would be a very old school way of playing Supercoach, circa 2014 Sam Burgess style.
Yeah. It's definitely not something I thought would be an option this year, but it's definitely worth consideration. A slight downgrade, Chiefs, and who we're talking about now. We'll go down to Aaron Clark, who had 52 after a 47 in round one. He's quite well owned, 15%. His minutes seem pretty consistent at around 45-ish. Bit of an awkward one with those scores. Like, it's probably... I don't know. Those people probably already own Corey Horsburgh. What do you reckon you do, Tubes? Sell or hold at that price and with those kind of points?
I can tell you. Honestly, no idea with Aaron Clark. Like, I mean, whatever's team dependent, like, I wouldn't be holding on to him like he's going to save you in any way, shape, or form. So you're trying to upgrade him to Payne Haas, or you're trying to downgrade him to a cheapie no that's going to go up by more than that. But
there's not really anyone, though, who's clicking in the cheapy second row.
Then you're probably on the bubble holding him until, is that Nicholson from the Raiders? See what his minutes look like over the next couple of weeks.
Especially
and
with
if he's ready to explode.
Did you see Zach Hosking broke his hand as well? Is the big strong rumor. So he could be out for 4 weeks, which means Nicholson probably gets that edge now.
Yeah. So I think that's probably what you're looking at doing. Really with any of those mid-ranger back rowers at the moment.
Let's move now down to halfback and 5'8", and we're going to start with Luki Metcalf, who had 117 after the updates came through from the weekend. His patient, savvy owners were rewarded with a try, two try assists and 24 points in conversions. Jubes, how good was it to see? You must have been pretty happy.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I think he... I don't think he looked that amazing football wise, but certainly was good to see him, you know, put it to those Manly players and tower them up on the weekend.
So you held? You held Luke Metcalf? You were patient?
No, I didn't. but good to see. Jaden Campbell, 35, in for Luke Metcalf, 117. I'm lucky to be still talking on this podcast, McGrath, but you're known to kick a man while he's down, so I'll just keep taking him and then I'll just keep getting back up. And then when I swing for you, you'll be in trouble.
This is how it felt last year when I traded Terrell May and then he got 100 like 3 weeks in a row straight after. It was just hard to pod after that. Nathan Cleary, 80 points. 30% of people actually captained him. The points just tick over for Cleary. He was on nearly 60 at the half and it seemed like he hadn't done anything. A couple of assists from kicks. I think we've definitely seen enough to know that he's not one you're going to downgrade to one of these other cheaper guys we'll talk about soon.
No, I think you're holding Cleary. I think the only consideration of one of the guns that you might trade is Nico Hines. But then I keep coming back to going, is that just my Sharks bias sort of coming out going, he's just not looking as dominant. But then from a Supercoach perspective, he's back kicking goals and then you look at his score and he's still got 86 on the weekend. I know that included a junk try assist, but that's just what he's going to get because he gets that many touches and he's a very good player. So I think Nico and Cleary, if for those that started with both of them, I think they're probably both a hold in the scheme of things and find other ways to make changes to your team.
Yeah, it's a funny game, Supercoach, because if Nico doesn't get that late try assist and he gets a score in the low 60s, I'm probably putting serious thought into trading him, but just by virtue of him doing that, I just feel so much more comfortable with an 86 in his score sheet. I think you do watch the Sharks with a fairly harsh critical eye, which that's normal. It's your team. But I thought Nico looked pretty good. He was digging into the line. He looked active. I was pretty happy with him.
I thought he looked very good. Sorry. From an NRL perspective, I thought Nico looked very good. I think he didn't look good from a super coach dominance perspective. So, like, his dig into the line was also balls out the back to Will Kennedy or Trindle being that second man off the play, which lends itself to them getting more try assists. Whereas in years gone by, Nico's sort of been that man out the back as well as being in the front line. So it's just a couple of things here and there that I think he's going to lose this year, which may be better for the Sharks as long as he's still playing that sort of dominant role as well.
Yeah, but we agree a hold for now.
A hold. But what do you do with Duffy? So most people went Duffy. Like, what do you do? Are you stuck? I suppose you're bringing down Sandon Smith and bringing him like Mamazalis or going across to Humphreys. But even you got to find 120K to go up to Humphreys, don't you?
Yeah, and it's hard because if he was goal kicking, you might be like, nah, he can turn this around. He's had a 22 and a 27. He kicked once in the first game. Just didn't kick at all on the weekend. So it seems like Drinky is the kicker there. It's a really hard one, Tubes. I think I'd be looking at, one of these cheap hookers or Humphreys. And, I mean, let's talk about Humphreys.
There were some smug people about the Duffy, like, after the sort of the first, like, round. And I feel bad because I wish the kid was going well. But, you know, those people that have Duffy, that's at least something I'm holding on to in a bad week that I don't have to make that decision for this week. I think Humphreys looked very good. 305K halfback only, that's a tricky position to fill though, isn't it?
It is, but he looks the goods. His goal kicking, Dodds hurt in New South Wales Cup, so it's definitely his spot. I guess it's just if you can find the way to get up to him from Duffy. It is a bit of a tricky one, the Duffy situation. I think you could do a lot worse than get Humphreys in. I think I'd probably prefer to go him for one of these cheap hookers if it were me.
I would love to own Humphreys. I wish if he was just given Jewel at the start of the year, like, I'd be getting him in this week as a hooker for sure. I thought he looked really good. He's definitely playing that dominant half style. He's doing all their kicking. He's obviously kicking goals. And I think he's in for some more attacking stats than he's shown so far as well. I'd probably go Duffy to Humphreys if I had Duffy right now.
So you would give no consideration to the whole Duffy gone? You're not giving another chance?
I wouldn't be shocked if he's not named this week and Clifford is, but if he was, I wouldn't be giving him another chance.
Far out. Yeah, you spoke about like the smug Duffy owners. I remember you and I talking about what we were going to do with the money when we downgraded Nico to Duffy. Like it just felt...
Week's a long time in Supercoach, Jono.
Dylan Brown down at 5'8", he had a 34 today. Parra just looked terrible. I think you just got to sell deal bags, don't you?
100%. If you have him at half or 5'8", plenty of other options. Deal bags to Munster would feel pretty good next week if you made the wrong call there. The Eels just look so bad. And I just, like, I mean, it just feels like it'll take a lot to turn around. So, and he's not known for just getting people up and about in a beaten team. So I couldn't see. I've got Dylan Brown in draft, and I wish I didn't. After today,
ideally he just loses a ton of cash and then becomes an option when Mitchie Boy Moses is back in 6 weeks' time, and you can pick him up cheap. Would one of the people you consider selling him to be Galvin, who had 105 today with a try and two assists? He had a 51 in round one, which is pretty solid too. Is that two sideways tubes, or is it a pretty good pot option from Brown? Or do you think it's better just to go somewhere like Munster?
I think Galvin looked good. His touches still were high. Tigers' attack looked like it was clicking a bit, but I'm still just wary that they don't play, as I said earlier, Parra every week. Is there going to be enough attacking stats to go around? I think Galvin's probably priced pretty fairly, maybe even overpriced. I know he'll go up with the 105, but just across the season-long average. I think Munster's the proven gun for that Melbourne Storm outfit. Even though they've got the Panthers coming up, he's probably the one I'd want to be bringing in. I thought I'd be talking up Jaden Campbell or AJ Brimson as potential 5'8 options, and I still think that they are. But it'd be a tough buy to bring in this week after a 36 and 37 pre-updates or down-dates, whatever comes in.
Yeah, tough. I think you're right. Munster's definitely the standout there, although like the tough game this week. What about Jerome Luai, Galvin's halves partner? He's 25% owned. He pulled out, I think it was only a 21 today. So you're really looking, especially you put alongside that Matt Burton hurt his knee. Like Dylan Brown, Jerome Luai, Matt Burton, pretty well-owned players. They're just all gone this week. You've got to make way. So Munster's ownership might be about to skyrocket.
Yeah, the only thing holding it back would be that they're playing the Panthers, but Munster usually still goes well in those tough games. The Luai one's interesting. Did you, watching that game, he seems to be looking to try and really take on that leadership halfback type role and organising the team and doing things. He probably not doing his skipping and running as much because Galvin's really taken on that role. It's hard. It's a small sample size. This was their first game with Buller, Appy, Galvin and Luai all in the side. But off the basis of that one game sample size, I wouldn't want to be owning Luai for the season, just in the role he's going to fill, which is good for Tigers fans, but potentially not from a Supercoach point of view.
Yeah, it's a little bit similar to what you were saying with Nico before, where often the things were happening outside, but Nico still came through the 86 and he goal kicked. So
yeah.
I think you just have to part ways with Luai for sure. Tubes, let's get into our second big segment of the show. It is Ready to Explode. Tubes, Ready to Explode is our segment where we take a look at some players who we just think are about to go to a new level in Supercoach. Who do you have for us this week?
I couldn't go past. He probably was... unlucky to not be on it last week, although maybe lucky because I think is Ready to Explode the one that's cursed for me? Like I think I took Xavier Savage in week one and then he got suspended the next day, and last week I took the Broncos back line, so that didn't work out too well.
Oh, 50-50. Arthur's been all right.
yeah, when you get to pick the whole back line, yeah. One out of six isn't great. So Fletcher Sharp, though, he's 636K in Supercoach and he scored 82 on the weekend. And he scored 83 in round one. So when I'm saying ready to explode, it's probably a lot more even just off the eye test. His pace is unbelievable. Like the way Kalen Ponga is playing at fullback and very much almost playing like a halfback and just allowing Fletcher Sharp to play that sort of, I wouldn't call it roaming, but just sort of like able to pop up everywhere and just sort of get men one-on-one and just beat them with his pure pace. I just think that the Knights looked good. I think they'll keep looking good with their run. And I'd love to own Fletcher Sharp at some point this year. And I really do think I wouldn't be shocked if we finished the year and he averaged in the high 70s, how he started. He just looks electric.
It's a tough one. I agree with every single thing you said, but he's available fullback and centre wing. You're not going to have him at fullback because there's too many good guns there. And at centre wing, you potentially already have Dylan Lucas and Greg Marju. I don't think you can have all three, can you?
Plus Ponga, that'd be four.
I meant three in centre wing, potentially, like just with how volatile that could be. But yeah, with Ponga chucking a fourth, I don't know, it's pretty tough. I think he's going to end up being very under-owned because of that.
Maybe Fletcher v. Marju. That'll be the pod. I'm not feeling up and about going anti-podding people at the moment though. But I do like Fletcher Sharp. And I think he's worth looking at.
My ready to explode this week, Tubes, again, a little bit like last week, I've kind of picked someone who's exploded. I'm playing it very safe with mine so far early in the year. But Payne Haas, we alluded to it earlier. He had 99 points in 57 minutes and it was all in base plus power. 7 offloads this week, which I don't think Payne has ever had 7 offloads in a game before. He's often been fairly safe with that, even though he does get that big right arm or left arm free. Is he a heaven and earth man, Tubes? Heaven and earth, a term that C-Mac has coined on the show before, where you just have to move heaven and earth to get this player right now. Do you think Payne Haas qualifies as a heaven and earth man?
Look, I'm going to say yes. But then I'm just going to explain what ready to explode means as a segment to you again, Jono, because what it doesn't mean is just pick the best player from the weekend that's just gone. Last week you picked Ryan Papenhuyzen, and this week you picked Payne Haas, who's just come off 100-100. So is he a heaven and earth man? To your point, yes. Is he a ready to explode? I think that ship sailed, buddy. I don't know.
I deserve
it. He's ready to trade in. He's ready to trade in. We'll put it that way.
He's exploded and you have to get him if you don't already. If you're not one of the 30-odd%, 20-25% who own him, you have to. I guess the reason, Tubes, I was trying to loosely qualify him for ready to explode is just the amount of offloads he had on the weekend and how willing he was to chuck it around. Like, he seriously just gets his arm free every time. And in the past, that's what's kept his scoring down. That's why the whole chat about, oh, not having Payne Haas won't kill you has kind of mattered to an extent, because he hasn't had the big ceiling in him. But with that offload, he just might.
Well, he does. Like, I think it's there, right? Yeah, he's not a different player, but he's playing a different role this year. And that seems very clear. And it's not like he's done 99-100s because of big minutes. Like, they're sustainable 57, 60 minutes. Like, that's sustainable for him to play even in games where they're going to be running away with it. I definitely think he's a heaven and earth man to bring in this week. Such good flexibility with Horse and Tino being able to come down into the second row forward. So I think there's plenty of options to get him in.
All right, let's get into the second half of our position analysis now. We're going to move on to the second row forward spot. Tommy Gilbert was pretty popular this week, Tubes, and I think owners will be a little bit let down. He had 47 points in 50 minutes. I mean, you stick with him now, right? If you brought him in this week?
Yeah, if you brought him in this week, you stick with him. You stick with him regardless. But I think it is a bit disappointing. Weird game, though, on Thursday night. It felt against the Knights. Like, they just destroyed them. But, I mean, he is a base man. 50 minutes seems to be what it seems like he's going to get. I can't imagine he's going to be getting 64 in base every week with 50 minutes. So you're probably looking at that mid-50 average.
There would have been about 7,000 coaches pretty disappointed this week, Tubes, because Big Ola at 666K, only scored a 44. It was a bit of a disinterested game for Big Ola. He only ran for around 70 metres, and my narrative chat from the start of the year about how his leadership's going to make him a more consistent and mature player. Again, a week's a long time in Supercoach. It hasn't aged that well. He's still a hold, though, isn't he? You don't sell Big Ola.
Nah. For a man that was disinterested, he's still got 44. And he's going to have plenty of attacking stats, isn't he? So, yeah, he's a hold. I think there was plenty of chat after week one that he was a must-have, must-bring-in, and I think Payne Haas has taken over that, as we've said, this week. So, for those that don't own him, you can wait and watch for a few more weeks, I think.
Well, that's our Val Munger from the Warriors. He's 27% owned. He got 18 points in 70 minutes. It's just time to go, right? But what do you do? He's 232K. No one else is jumping out. Do you nuff him? Do you just hope that another Warriors player gets injured? Do you hope that he gets dropped? Like, literally, Tubes, if this was you, what are you doing?
Nothing. Can't do anything. Just hope for the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to waste a trade on getting nuffing him or trading him. Not right now.
No, agreed. I think you just got to hope it plays out all right for him. Siya Wong got 70 points in 80 minutes on the weekend. In actual footy terms, he had a couple of bad defensive reads. At 318K, Tubes, he's getting big minutes now, 2 weeks in a row at the Roosters. Is he an option or is there just a little bit too much happening with their forwards at the moment?
Too much happening. Lindsay Collins and Spencer Lenu to come back into that pack. Can't imagine he's keeping 70 minutes once that happens. Yeah. Did Nat Butcher play on the weekend?
I was going to say, no, both Butchers are out. Nat Butcher had surgery last week.
And Radley gone? Or
Radley gone
play?
Too. No, yeah. He's out.
Look, if they were decimated for another 3 weeks, then you could look at him as a cash gen option. But I never like bringing in 300K people that you're basically just hoping people stay injured for a few more weeks for so you can make money.
Yeah, the other one that people were talking up from the Roosters prior to the round was that Fichetti. Who is bottom price and played good minutes in round one, but I think he went very poor the weekend, so I think you can forget about it.
He got sin bin for something stupid, didn't he, as well?
He did. All right, Lachie Hubner, as the president of the Hub Club, it brings me great pain to say that he is going to be suspended for a couple of weeks after a crusher tackle, but, geez, it was good while it was on. 52 points in 51 minutes. And there was one point Matt pointed out that he made all six tackles in one set, just basically tackled himself to a standstill. You got to love the Hub Club.
I reckon he did it twice. Like he made so many tackles. I can't believe that Souths won that game. Like Dragons really just bottled that like completely. I think the Hub Club is a nice hold, and for those that don't own him, they get a couple of weeks now before they get to trade him in.
One at the same price, Tubes, who I am just so happy with this guy going poorly. Everything seems right in the world again. It's the Goz, Jack Kajewski. He was brought in by 10% of super coaches this week. He got 18 points, 48 minutes, was just back to his usual self, minimal work, taken off the field for Piakura. Just felt right to see the guys in that kind of role, didn't it?
It did. Just another nice disaster for me. Obviously, I brought him in, just like all my other good trades for this week. It did feel right. It'll be an interesting week at training for him. Like, it felt like he got hooked, but he's clearly been Madge's man all preseason. Put in the work, did what he needed to do game one. First loss. They've got an easy run coming up. If he can just hold on to that 80 minutes for one more game or certainly high 60s, then he's probably going to hold it for a bit longer. Just a very tough matchup in at Bruce Stadium. There's not many that can go with the Broncos packs, but clearly the Raiders can.
His teammate, Tubes, Kobe Hetherington, is also very highly owned. He's in 24% of teams, punched out 39 in 48 minutes. Really similar minutes to last week, so it seems like that's his role. Look, Kobe's a pretty good worker, but when you're working in a pack with Payne and Paddy Carrigan, it's hard to get anything, isn't it?
Like, if if you're Billy Walters or Corey Pakes and you look up and who can you pass to, one of them two or Kobe Hetherington, like I think it's going to Payne Haas or Pat Carrigan 99.9 times out of 100.
Yeah, and it'd be the right call all of that percentage of times as well. I think, like, he's just at his price. I don't think it's a disaster if you keep him. Like, he's not going to lose you any money. He's going to make you a tiny bit. But he's one that if you can move on to one of these relevant players, like I'm moving him up to Payne Haas this week is my plan via Jules. I think he's a good one to move on if you can. Choose anyone else in the back row who jumps out from you from the round that's been?
Not really. I think the only one is Preston is pretty highly owned. He scored a try today and only got 58. Like, that feels a little bit disappointing. But you're not going to trade him now.
No, and he also spent time in the centres today too because they had to shuffle their back line with with Burton getting hurt. So not ideal for him, but I think he passes the eye test. He's one that I'd hold if I was an owner for sure and just hope that it all comes good because the Dogs are
scoring points. Well, and Kikau looks gone now as well. Do you see him hobbling off with a look like an MCL similar to Burton? Tune in to our friends over at the Magic Sponge. I think they'll give an update probably after you've finished the Sunday snap. You can listen to that. But, Kikau look gone. So Preston, I know he's an 80-minute man anyway, but it probably just shores everything up. So you give him another week at least.
All right, let's move down to hooker, which is surprisingly this year, like normally it's the worst position in Supercoach to talk about. Bit happening in hooker. We start with Connor Watson, who had 103 on the weekend. He played 80 minutes in a bit of a hooker/middle combo role. And after being unsure last week with all the HIAs, it does seem like this is going to be the role for him. Tubes very tough for those who went Maxi Plath, the son of John, over Connor Watson, who made that decision last week, one of which was me.
It must be tough for you. I think son of John's still pretty good. 49 all in base. Hopefully Nick Arima gets dropped this week. And they put a halfback that passes the ball to the second row forward at least once. Even to just throw off the defense would be good. Like, if you go out the back every single time, I think they figure it out pretty quickly what's going to happen. Watson looked very good. Hard to say that's 100% his role because, like we said, they're so decimated in their middle forwards at the moment that it makes sense to do what they did, which is use him in the middle. But if that's going to be his role moving forward, then I think he'll be finding his way into plenty of people's teams as that number one hooking option in the foreseeable future. I think having both him and Son of John might not be too bad, rotating them around.
Yeah, true. So I shouldn't feel too down about it. It's still better than your trades from this round, so I shouldn't be getting too low on myself. That was nasty. I shouldn't have said that. I take that back to you.
Yeah, I know. You're really feeling yourself, like you got 1391. Well done.
Yeah, I know. But that last one just felt a bit pointed and nasty. I regret doing it, Tubes. I apologize. Here's one that might make you feel better, Tubes. We have a stake bet going on. I don't want to talk for too long about this bloke, but Wade Egan on our first show, we had a stake bet that you said he was going to get to 640K. I said he was absolutely no chance. Played 80 minutes in the weekend and had 110 points with a try. So I just want to chuck that out there. You might be on your way to a nice steak. Let's go now, Tubes, to all these cheapy options because there's four blokes who I think are very, very interesting. So we'll start with Sandon Smith, who was your rage trade candidate of the week last week. Didn't he bounce back? 76 points with a try and an assist, 20 points in conversions, and he just looked a lot better in terms of actual footy. Little spark plug.
Yeah. I think that Roosters turnaround is what the Titans are going to see next week, I think. That was unbelievable, though, wasn't it? The Roosters beating the Panthers, upset. They were 24-point underdogs. Like, that's just a crazy upset. And Sandon Smith looked very good. Looked actually very involved, which didn't in the first week. I know it's easy to be involved when you're scoring well, but to play against the Panthers, I thought he backed up well. That was obviously how he scored each try. But he was just getting some nice touches and nice sweeping plays and wasn't afraid to run it. Pretty much everything you wanted when you bought him in as a must-have at the start of the season.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way you're selling him. I think most people own him, so there's probably not going to be too many people bringing him in next week. But for those who do, I mean, maybe this is where we talk about Tom Duffy because Sandon Smith might be able to come down to that halfback spot. He is dual, And we got Corey Pakes, Tom Starling, Dan's man, and Peter Mamazelis. What of those guys is the most interesting for you?
Out of the three, I'd buy Starling. I know that you've got that risk with Owen Paddy there, but he's played 70 minutes in two games, Starling, hasn't he? So, or 60-something, and then 70 on the weekend. I think he's the best hooker out of the three. And behind that Raiders pack with Tarpanay coming back, he could do some real damage this year. So I like him as an upside play if you're going to go any of them at the hooking position. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a pretty tough call. I think I'd slightly lean to Peter Mamazelis.
Didn't you call him Peter Mamazelis last week? Was that one of your puns?
He's Peter Mama Bias now. I think I want him in, Peter Mama Bias, because he had easily the best footy game of his career. He played 80 minutes after playing 72 last week. I think with his minutes, like, it's still a little bit up in the air because both weeks South have had injuries to middle. See, we haven't had a full look at what South's rotation is this week. He's that little bit cheaper than Starling. He's already 25% owned, which surprised me. But I do think it's a really tough decision. I'd slightly lean to Mama Bias. Jibs, let's jump across now to our final position, and it's fullback. We're saving one of the most important positions for last. And you can't start anywhere except for Kalyn Ponga, who busted 129 on the weekend after being on 105 at halftime. I guess I can't be disappointed when I had the VC loop on him with 129. But what really stood out, Tubes, was how he's just so comfortably playing both sides, and he was the dominant playmaker in the team. It's like he was playing halfback.
Yeah, he looked very good, obviously kicking goals, and he certainly felt like he could have got a lot more than 129. I really thought he was in for like 180 plus at different points in the game. So, yeah, very happy to have him in my side. He's obviously in nearly 50% of super coaches teams, and I think a lot of people others will be looking to bring him in over the next few weeks after that round four bye.
There was a lot of chatter, Tubes, about people selling him in the round four bye down to Iongi. I don't think that's going to be on the radar anymore after Iongi got a 21 today. I actually thought he was one of Parra's better players, but just tough with how bad Parramatta are looking. He's not going to get as many opportunities as we would have liked.
Yeah, I think obviously that's his flaw. I think he'll go better than that. That was a weird. They were terrible today, and it was a funny game. Hopefully for him, he goes better than that, but. I thought I thought he was one of their best. I thought Zach Lomax played pretty well for them as well. Not that I'm bringing him in either. But, yeah, it's certainly not going to be a big pop-off for Iongi. The three-gun fullback strategy is probably working well for most people. I mean, unless you went Walsh as one of your three guns and he had a 9 on the weekend.
Not a lot of people went Teddy. He's 3% owned. He got 119 on the weekend, and he just was in one of those moods where he just wanted to drag the Roosters to a win. Crabbing across field, 9 tackle busts. I mean, I don't think we need to spend too long on him, Tubes, because he's not well owned, but I think people were hoping that he was going to drop a lot in price and be a good discounted option in a few weeks. What about King Gutho? Another one, pod ownership. He's 4%, 146 on the weekend. His price is about to skyrocket. What do you think, Tubes? Is he worth a look at, the King, for the Dragons? Do they have the bye this week?
I have the bye in round three. He had 113 last week, 146 this week, and he looks unbelievable. Like, I'd say that the thing that didn't consider at the start of the year was with Lachlan Ilias and Kyle Flanagan as their halves. Like, everything goes through Gutho. Like, all their attacking plays, all the sweeps, everything. He's the last man on the end of it. It's all going through him. He's looked very good and obviously scored well. They did obviously play Souths on the weekend, but he scored well against the Bulldogs. They got Melbourne when he comes back in round four, so that's a tough one to bring in for. But then after that, they've got Para, Titans, Manly, Roosters, Tigers. I said to myself, I think it was one of my rules that I wasn't going to go Gutho this year. Just after last year. The King could be back.
He is sneaky, one of your guys, isn't he? Because you've had him both the last 2 years. You've had him for stretches, and now you're looking at him again. He's not one of mine, Gutho. I just don't trust the Dragons enough. Like I know he scored well both weeks. I agree with everything he's saying about with the halves being who they are. He's taking a really dominant role, but just not one of mine, Gutho. I don't think I can waste a fullback spot.
He's averaging 125 in, and they're 0-2.
Yeah, but a week's a long time in Supercoach. He could get 50 next game against Melbourne, probably less.
Look, I'll be having a look at him. That's for sure. Maybe bring him in against Melbourne, but don't even play him that week.
Well, no, you can't do that. But no, if Walsh was to have another bad game, Tubes, you'd probably have a very serious look there, wouldn't you?
No. Walsh, I'm living and dying by Walsh and this next run coming up, unless he gets injured.
Fair enough. Well, Chibs, let's go to our last segment, which is the Little Black Book. Who are you jotting down your Little Black Book who's maybe had something you've just seen that piques your interest, Tubes?
I was going to go Payne Haas. I thought he looked – oh, no, wait, that's not the segment here. I do have one for my Little Black Book, and it's not for right now, but I'm writing it down for a little bit later on in the year, and that is my man Scotty Drinkwater. Ended up with 65 on the weekend with a late try, where he literally just did everything himself to score that try. And I was sort of hoping he wouldn't, because I think he was on 29 before then. He was kicking goals on the weekend for them. He literally has to be involved in every single part of the Cowboys' attack to get them going. They've got a bit of a tough run coming up. They've got Broncos into Raiders into Panthers. They then play the Bunnies in round 6, and then they have a round 7 bye. But after that, from round 8 onwards, they don't have a bad run, and they also are very good over that sort of Origin bye schedule. So I think I've seen enough in the 2 weeks to think that the Cowboys aren't going to be a great team this year, but Scott Drinkwater is going to be kicking goals, and he's basically going to be having to play that Teddy role that you said before, where he's going to have to lift them off the canvas to score points. And I'm definitely going to be owning him over that Origin period, and he'll probably be in my team by round 8 this year.
Jeez, that was very well researched. Well done. Liked it.
Little Black Book.
Little Black Book, you put a bit of effort into it. I Tubes, I reckon the Cowboys might have the best Origin run of any team in Supercoach history since this big bye rounds have been in play. Like, it's so nice. I think they only missed one game over that entire period, and you know that Drinky's completely safe. So I really like that for the Little Black Book this week.
You know why I put so much research into it?
Why?
Just when you're coming in the 80,000s, you've got to start turning your attention to how you climb back up that ladder. And that Origin period looks prime. Not many people speak about it in round 2, but it's on the Sunday snap.
My Little Black Book is a man who played in the last game of the round. It's Bo Fermor, who's a dual centre wing, second row forward. He's only owned by 2% of teams. He had 74 with an assist today, with Dave Fifita not playing surprisingly low minutes today. Fermor looks to be the 80-minute man in that team. I don't mind the idea, Tubes. You might think it's a little bit too meat and potatoes, and I understand that I generally play it a bit safer than you when it comes to point scoring, but I don't mind the idea of potentially having Dylan Lucas in one spot, Bo Fermor on the other, and just rotating them around between each other on a needs basis.
Yeah, I like it. I thought Fermor looked good. Left edge, 80 minutes. Titans have a very good run coming up, so I don't mind him at all. 593K.
All right, beauty. Two good Little Black Books. We'll see how they pan out. Tubes, that pretty much brings us to a close for today. Just want to give another shout-out to the league code. The code is 730444. Big growth this week. Word's getting out around that $5,000 prize because the number's tripled after a little shout-out from NRL Physio. So, yeah, well done, NRL Physio.
Everyone wants to be a baller.
I did. I don't know if I do now after that pronunciation of the word. But hopefully that doesn't put people off. It's baller.promo, B-A-L-L-R.promo. And Tubes, are we going to see you next on the Tuesday show? Tuesday is the Teamless Tuesday show with Matt and Dan always on. Are you going to be joining?
I haven't decided yet. I'll see if I can. I had to really pick myself up off the canvas to come on the Sunday snap. I didn't want to let you down, Jono, but don't know if I can face up to a Tuesday. We'll see how we go.
You did very well, Tubes. I got to say, you're pretty sparky, I reckon, considering the weekend you had in Supercoach. And I got a few unnecessary digs in there as well, and you handed them just beautifully. Any other thoughts for us, Tubes?
You beauty.